Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Next Level University, where we teach you how to level up in your life, your love, your health, and your wealth.
No matter where you are now or where you've been, there is a next level. We bring you 7 episodes a week, 6 of which are solo episodes with Kevin and myself, and one world-class guest to help you get there.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. Next Level Nation, welcome back to another very special, as always, live weekly Next Level University podcast for week number 78. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. So this is a very appropriate episode for us to be doing as Bianca and Emilia scurry to the gym. They're behind the scenes doing their thing. So as I mentioned, and as Alan mentioned, we are in Florida right now, and if you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know I'm terrified of planes. So the whole fear chasing thing, the reason we're doing this episode is because when we were deciding, I said, Alan, we're going to be in Florida. The event part of things terrifies me. The flying part terrifies me. I think it would be really good for us to talk about the fact that I will be out of my comfort zone for the entire 3.5-4 days we're there, and that's why we chose this topic.
So each of us have 5 points to make, but I think the most important thing to understand here is that the gold in your life, the treasure in your life, is buried where you don't want to look. The things that we're avoiding, the persons, places, things, and ideas that we're avoiding are the things that we are subconsciously afraid of. So I often use the analogy of when I was younger, I actually told the story to Emilia and Bianca and Kevin earlier on this trip of when I was younger, I grew up on a big pond, small lake. And I was walking as a little kid, a little boy, I think I was like 7 or 8, to my neighbor's house, Mark. And a snapping turtle came out of the, scurried out of the woods area in the water. We had this little path in the water to my neighbor's house. And I actually stepped on it, and I was so scared and petrified of this huge snapping turtle. It seemed like a huge snapping turtle, even though I was small, so in hindsight, it probably wasn't that big. But I stepped on it, and I screamed, and I ran home. And ever since that, I was really irrationally afraid of snapping turtles. And so I make this joke of, like, what are your 3 biggest fears? I'm like, snapping turtles 3 times. You know, they didn't live and survive since dinosaurs by being nice. And so the point, though, is most of you out there watching this right now probably are not that afraid of snapping turtles. I was swimming. Emilia's family has a lake house, and I was swimming for exercise not long ago at the lake. And where I was swimming from dock to dock for exercise, it wasn't that long ago, I actually had a trigger because later in the summer, the weeds underneath the lake kind of start to grow, and I felt weeds on my knees and on my legs. And it took everything in me. That's probably an exaggeration. It took a lot from me to keep doing my exercise routine while I felt the weeds on my legs because I'm still so scared of snapping turtles. And so here I am, 32 years old, which is decades later, still being controlled by that fear. And so every time I'm at Otis, I go for a mile run and a quarter mile swim, and I literally still have that affect me. I had to literally tell myself, Alan, it's irrational. No one dies from snapping turtles. Like, grow up, you know. And I just told myself, like, you're not going to not exercise. You're not going to not swim because of this fear of this thing that happened to you all those years ago. And so I wanted to open it up with that. Everyone has fears, and most of them are not rational. And just to piggyback on what Kevin's already said here, his fear of planes from a statistical perspective is actually not rational. And that's okay. That I'm not making Kevin wrong for that. But statistically speaking, you're far more likely to get in a car accident than to actually be hurt in a plane. But most of us are still more afraid of planes than we are of cars because cars we're more familiar with. So you're going to fear things that you avoid. And believe it or not, the fears grow when you avoid those things.
It's actually, I read a stat that only, I think it's only like 10% of people are afraid of planes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's still a lot, though. 10 out of every 100.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's less than I expected. I thought it was going to be like 75%.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you not afraid of planes? So the first thing I want to lead off with is opportunities become invisible when you let your fears get in the way. So number one, this entire journey, particularly us being in Florida, is all me fear chasing. But this all started with a text message. Shout out to Andrew. I don't remember how many years ago, maybe 3 or 4, 5 years ago at this point. I'll never forget. I was in a hotel room in New Jersey. not the one that I debated taking my life in, a different one, as crusty as the one I debated taking my life in.
You spent a lot of time in hotel rooms in New Jersey.
I spent a lot of time in New Jersey, for certain. I got a text message from Andrew, and he said, "Hey, Kev, I'm going to England in 3 months or something. Tickets are half price. You should really fear chase and come." My initial reaction is like, absolutely not. Not going to happen. Nothing. Like, what is in England, first of all? Like, why am I going to do that? And then it was, okay, let me think about this for a second. I want to be an international speaker, and I talk about this all the time. I want to be able to speak all over the world. I want to impact audiences on stages. We have listeners in 100 countries. 100 countries. So that's an opportunity to speak in 100 different countries at some point.
100 plus.
100 plus. How dare I limit us like that? And I said, you know what, Andrew? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And he's like, all right, I'm going to buy tickets right now. Just Venmo me, and here we go. And I Venmoed him. And I'll never forget the night before, because I hadn't been on a plane since I was like, I don't know, maybe 9. And that was to Florida. And this is my first international flight, my first overseas flight in a long time. And this plane was massive. Those planes are really big, like a lot bigger than I expected.
Virgin Airlines.
Yes, it was very nice. And the night before, I didn't sleep. I remember waking up like, this is the worst thing ever. Like, I don't know if I can do this. Genuinely, like, I'm not sure if I can actually get on the plane. We get to the airport. We go through security. First time I'd done that in a long time. I didn't remember how stressful that was. And our flight gets delayed. Our flight was supposed to be at like 7. So we're in the airport ready to go. And it got delayed until midnight. And I was like, oh my God, I got to wait another 4 or 5 hours to get on this plane. So the reason I'm telling you this is because I had an opportunity that wasn't ever an opportunity before because it was invisible. I wasn't willing to fear chase, so those opportunities didn't speak to me. The opportunity to go to England, Andrew and I had an amazing time. I think it was like 7 or 8 days. And I stayed in London with Andrew, and we went up to the beach. I don't remember where it was, but it was awesome. I had a blast. And that opened so many doors for me. So now when I get the opportunity to go and co-host an event with Alan and Eddie Pinheiro and Evan Carmichael and these people in Florida, it becomes an opportunity, not a I wish I could, or even worse, something I don't even see. And now here we are in Florida. So the point I'm making here is you have a ton of opportunities in your life right now that you can't see because they are blocked by your fears. They don't become opportunities until you open up to them. So now if somebody messages Alan and I tomorrow and says, hey, I have a speaking engagement for you. Kev, I want you to talk on podcasting. Alan, I want you to talk on business and scaling a business. It's in London, England, and we're going to pay you $5,000 each. It's not a thought of, oh, I really wish I could do that. This is aligned with the person I am and more of the person I want to become. And just understand that you're missing out on so much by letting your fears run your life.
So important. So what I wrote down was 5 fears that I think everyone has, at least to some extent. Now, some of these you'll be like, oh my God, that's me. Other ones you'll be like, I don't think that one affects me much. But the key is to be really truthful with yourself. So the first one is fear of judgment. I believe that fear of judgment, I used to use a hashtag called #fearnojudgment. And I think that I think the fear of judgment is probably larger than any other fear in terms of quantity and the depth of that fear within people. And I'll give you an example. I remember I had a client early on. She was a fitness client. She eventually became a business client when I transitioned into business. And I remember I would notice that she would post a lot of things on her Instagram that she would not post to Facebook. And I thought that was a major bottleneck in her growing her business because her network on Facebook was thousands of people who know, like, and trust her and who could definitely use her help. And I figured out that she wasn't posting. And I knew why. At least I had an inkling as to why, because I've seen this a lot. And I asked her, I said, so who is it on Facebook that is not following you on Instagram that you do not want to see your stuff because you're afraid of their judgment? And we dug and we dug and we dug. It turns out it was her mother and her aunt. So who here has a judgmental relative on Facebook? Everyone should be raising their hand. Sure. Okay? But remember, what inspires one person will repel another. Just because someone else is going to critically judge you, someone who's overly critical, like a judgmental relative or a parent or a family member or an old colleague or friend, does not mean, remember, all those potential clients that you could be helping or friends that you could be serving by seeing your post aren't getting that information, aren't seeing you because you're allowing the fear of judgment to hold you back. If you post videos on TikTok that you're too afraid to post on Instagram or to post on Facebook. It's because TikTok, you have a certainty of who's watching on TikTok. You also have certainty of the context of TikTok. Now, obviously, like when I was a fitness coach, for example, I didn't post certain types of photos on LinkedIn because LinkedIn's a more professional platform. So what I'm saying is, understand the difference between wanting to be professional on a certain platform and just telling yourself a story, oh, I don't like Facebook as much, when in reality, it's because you're afraid. The first start to overcoming a fear is admitting that you have one. One more example about the fear of judgment. I will be completely honest with you. When I was growing up, I used to say, I don't care what people think. And now as I've aged, as I've matured, I've realized that I did care what people think, especially relative to how little I care what people think now. I'm 32 years old now. When I was in high school, I used to say, I don't care what people think. Kevin and I have told stories about how he was insecure and I was arrogant. And I did care what Kevin thought back then. I knew that Kevin didn't like me and I did care. But I told myself a story that I didn't care. See, if I had admitted it, you know what? I do care what Kevin thinks. Then I could work on overcoming that. I could be proactive. And so now on my coaching calls, I say, I am afraid of judgment. I am afraid you're going to think I'm arrogant. I am afraid to not belong. I am afraid to be disliked. And most importantly, I am afraid of what you think because you're a client of mine and I want to help you grow. And I can't help you grow if you don't like me because I lose influence. And I admit those things up front so that from then on I have permission. And I literally asked my last client, I just got a new client, so excited. I said, do I have your permission to overcome those fears and to be explicit with you? You're paying me to help you grow. Do I have permission to tell you what I really think and what I really feel and what I really believe? Because that's what's going to help you grow. And he said, yes, of course. He actually said, beat the shit out of me was his exact quote. And I'll keep that anonymous. But the point is that if you want to grow, you're going to have to overcome this fear of judgment just like I've had to do. Kevin and I have 750 episodes out there in the world for anyone to listen to. Anywhere on the planet. And some of them aren't good. We didn't take them down. I have YouTube videos. My very first YouTube video called Real Life Superheroes is genuinely awful. I'm not taking it down. Why? Because I'm overcoming my fear of judgment. That was the best I could do back then. And this fear of judgment holds you back. And you got to identify it. You got to admit it. And you got to work on it.
Your intro to Real Life Superheroes was fire.
Oh, thank you. Like I appreciate
flying
that.
Through the clouds.
Yeah,
and
the rising star.
Some epic music.
Dug it. I appreciate that.
When Alan and I played Spin the Bottle in his basement with the popular women in our whatever grade it was, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, whatever.
I think it was like later. Fifth grade.
Well, did you like me then?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. You disliked me. I never disliked you.
I didn't dislike you then.
Oh, you didn't?
No, it was just most of the other times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. So how do you even know?
Go ahead. And still? Or
no, I love you. How do you even know if your fears are still relevant? I think a lot of our fears are either memories that we have mixed up or there's something that might have scared us at one point. So Taryn, my wonderful fiance, because I can say that now, gratefully, I'm very happy to be able to say that. I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, she came to me and said, hey, Kev, I found this event that I think would be awesome. It's called Skip the Small Talk. And what we're going to do is, and at the time, just so you know, this was like a hard no for me. We're going to go to this place. It's a brewery. And what you do is you get to taste beer and test different beer. But also there's a bunch of icebreaker questions and you skip the small talk. You talk about deep stuff with people you've never met before. And I was like, honestly, that sounds the worst. It definitely sounds terrible. I have very little interest in it. But I wanted to, number one, support her. And I wanted to grow as a human being. I thought it was important. And I thought, okay, I was always afraid of speaking. I've always been afraid of being the center of attention. Like, let me just see what this is. And I genuinely was terrified. This was very similar to when Amy and I went to the mall. I was like hoping it got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll rain inside that day.
Someone slashed all four of my tires.
All four of them.
All four of them. Yeah. Can't go.
And stole my car.
Yeah.
Afterwards. And so we go. Taryn got me there. We go. When I got there, it was a shift. We sat down and I don't remember what it was. I think the first thing was like, if you could be any animal, what would you be and why? And I was like, interesting. That's an interesting question. I don't remember what I picked. I think it might have been, it was probably something very random. But I got comfortable very quickly. Now, the fear of me going to an event and talking with other humans was based on the fact that I was afraid of looking stupid. I was afraid of not being able to hold a conversation. When Taryn and I did this, I had 500 episodes under my belt, or 400 episodes. I loved it. I genuinely loved it. It was easy. It was easy. The thing that made me so scared was actually easy for me. Why? Because I hadn't done it since I started this journey. I've learned, I've grown, I've evolved, and that fear was holding me back because that fear was based on an old, past version of Kevin, not the current version. And I told Alan this. When I'm in a room with Alan, Alan oftentimes is more aware, or whatever it may be. Sometimes Alan outshines me, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think your energy, I think that's just who you are as a person, right? I don't want to make that wrong. I think it's great.
Appreciate it.
When I'm in a room without Alan, I realize how next level I am. That's the reason I make that point of like, I could talk to anybody in the room. It was amazing. I made a bunch of friends that still follow me on Instagram to this day. It was awesome. So that thing that I thought I was terrified of was based on old thoughts. That was based on old Kevin. You might be thinking that you're afraid of something until you experience it. I had somebody that came to one of our events, and before she was like, I'm so afraid of planes. I don't think I can do it. What if I have an anxiety attack? She took a video in the clouds and said, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm so glad I did that. A lot of your fears probably aren't as real as you think they are. And you're missing out on certain experiences. Going back to my first point, Alan and I went swimming in the ocean. Yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. Awesome. But I thought to myself, okay, what are the odds of getting snatched up by a shark and taken out? Probably pretty low. What are the opportunities that I'm leaving on the table? Like, Alan and I had a blast. We're getting crushed by the waves.
Crushed.
Talking about manifesting things. So understand that maybe your fears are based on an old version of yourself that you're not anymore, and it's time to upgrade your understanding.
Speaking of an old version of self, and I have so many things to talk about. I love the topic of fear. By the way, false expectations appearing real. So, Kevin, false expectations appearing real is like him thinking that he's going to go to this event. Not this event, but the one, what was it called? Skip the small talk. He was thinking that he was going to say something dumb, or he wasn't going to be able to hang or whatever. That was false expectation. It wasn't real. It just appeared real in his own mind. So be careful of your own fears. Remember, your intuition is your highest self, but fear will disguise itself as intuition. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing. It's the part of you that tells you a story that you don't like the bar, when in reality you're scared of it. See, not going to the bar because you don't like the bar is great. Not going to the bar because you're afraid of people and you're afraid of judgment and you're afraid to go to the bar, even though you really, really, really deep down want to go. See, that those are two very different things.
Can I jump in real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Alan, early in the journey, when I was still living in New Hampshire, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes in, maybe, of the Hyperconscious podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I remember telling Alan, I said, Alan, I want to go to the bar and not drink. I want to be able to have the confidence because I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid of looking bad or standing in the corner or having to start a conversation with somebody. And I remember Alan and I went to the bar.
Yeah, yeah,
in New Hampshire, and I think I had one drink. I didn't get drunk. I had one drink, and I was trying to really, really expose myself to those fears. One of the reasons that I've grown as quickly and efficiently as I have, obviously I have amazing people, I'm surrounded by amazing people and amazing mentors, but I go out of my way to face my fears. So I said, Bianca, today, I said, when you go to this event, I want you to think of five things that scare you at this event.
Mm-hmm.
Five people, five ideas, five conversations, five actions, and I want you to go do them. Like, that is how you build confidence. You build confidence by showing yourself that your fears aren't real. Worst case scenario, you look bad for a second. Most of these people aren't going to remember you tomorrow anyway. Yeah. So it's not a big deal. So I wanted to add that little tidbit.
Fire. So I had a huge fear, and it's so fascinating looking back and connecting the dots. So when I was in 9th grade... I was in Mr. Parcell's class. It was a history class, and he required public speaking. Now, remember, I chose the fears that I think most people have. Public speaking is one of the top fears. Some people put it above death. And so it's a big one. I had the fear of public speaking. So basically in high school, when I was in 9th grade, I was a late bloomer, as we call it. I didn't hit puberty. I'm still working on hitting puberty. No, but I seriously, I was a late bloomer. And so all of the young men in high school, not all of them, but most of them bloomed. They hit puberty ahead of me. They grew. I think when I was a freshman in high school, I think I was like 5'4". And then by junior year of high school, I was 6'2".
Take it easy, eh?
Yeah, no worries. But the point is that I hit puberty very, very late. I still look very young. And so I was so in that awkward phase, freshman year of high school. And I had braces and I was shy and I was I would get really, really red in the face and I had a lot of social anxiety. And it's interesting to think back to. But Mr. Parcells required in his history class one public speech, one pick a time in history and give a speech on it. And I remember there was a girl in that class that I really, really liked. And I was so embarrassed because she used to be a girlfriend of mine. And I was so embarrassed of how I would get so red in the face and how I looked all awkward. And my sister was also a senior at the time. So like, you know, I had a lot to live up to at that time. So I actually ended up going to a hypnotist. I told my mom this problem and my mom helped me out. And she brought me to a hypnotist, which now in hindsight, I realized was just positive affirmations. Mm. They actually created this tape deck. It was a cassette tape that I used to listen to before bed that it said like, you're an amazing snowboarder and you're going to be a great public speaker one day and you have value, like these affirmations. So if you've ever listened to affirmations, it was like that, but custom for me. And here I am, a public speaker, which is so fascinating. But fast forward over a decade later, Mr. Parcells is the athletic director at Medway High School. And he reaches out on Facebook and he actually invites me to give a speech to his high school athletes all across the district. And I gave a speech at Medway High School, and it was so interesting because I got to tell that story of how I was so petrified to public speak, and then the person who challenged me to public speak when I didn't want to, that fear was so big that it caused me to go to a hypnotist to try to rewire that fear, to get overcome that fear, again, admit it and then overcome, that later on that very same person actually hired me to speak. And it's so cool that it came full circle. And here we are, podcasters, and we're heard in over 100 countries. Over 100
over
countries.
100
no,
countries.
I'm kidding. But we have hundreds of thousands of listens all over the world. And we've given, at this point, I've given 125 plus speeches virtually and in person. And, you know, I was the main presenter all my college projects in my master's and my engineering degree. And it's just so fascinating how at one point I was too scared to even speak in a freshman English history class. And that's my point, is fear of public speaking. How many opportunities are you not going to get if you don't overcome this fear of public speaking? If you can't communicate your ideas in front of other people, you're not going to be able to be the leader you were meant to be. Everyone's got a story. Everybody's got a voice. Everybody's got a perspective. Everybody's got value. And if I know some people who are geniuses, like legitimate, like write the textbook, innovate on top of the textbook geniuses, who they would have such a bigger impact on the world if they had the courage and the ability to communicate more effectively. And so this is a strength that I now have because I admitted that fear and then did what it took to overcome it. And so fear of public speaking is another thing that you're going to have to chase if you really want to have the impact you're meant to have.
That could be... And I'm just going to spitball this idea with you right now. That could be a new income source for you and I, is we just go to somebody's house and we just lay under their bed when they're trying to sleep and we just do positive affirmations.
I thought you were going to say something serious.
Did you? Oh, no.
No.
I was like, that would be, you know what I mean? Fly me out.
How much do you think?
It would probably
50 bucks
to,
an hour?
It wouldn't. Well,
you're amazing.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Yeah.
I think
that's fire.
So let me know. If anybody wants that, let me know.
In hindsight, that hypnotist, just real quick, she associated what I was great at with public speaking. So like I was an awesome snowboarder because she asked me like, what are you great at? I'm like snowboarding, basketball. And she's like, so she started to associate public speaking. And now I get it. I know the neuroscience behind it. But back then I didn't know what she was doing. It was very cool.
I love positive. I don't want anybody to think I was joking about positive affirmations. I did those a lot very early.
Used to write them.
I used to write them every single day. I used to go to this coffee shop and write them because it helped me like feel connected to source and help me manifest. So I'm not knocking on that. I just want to add a business, you know, part of our business.
Yeah,
so
next level whisper solution.
I'm just trying to grow it.
Hey everyone, I'm Helen Baker from Melbourne, Australia. I'm an entrepreneur and a client of Alan's from Next Level University. I've had many business coaches in the past, and I can honestly say that Alan is seriously next level, and excuse the pun, but he has this unique ability to help you find a solution to your business problems using his intellect and his business modeling and his genuine, heartfelt desire to help you achieve your goals. I can be vulnerable with Alan. I can share anything and feel comfortable in his presence, knowing that at the end of our coaching sessions, I feel empowered to do incredible things. So if you're looking for a business coach, I highly recommend Alan, because his advice and his ability to coach you will be instrumental in achieving your success.
I have a giant fear of rejection. I think many people have a giant fear of rejection. The question I would ask you is, what are you willing to get rejected for? What are you willing to face that rejection for? So learning sales has been one of the most difficult things I've ever done, for sure. And I can't even tell you how many times I've either been outright rejected or just ghosted or had like a break in rapport on a call with somebody when I started talking about our products and our solutions. It happens so often. But I realized very quickly that, again, I'm not going to be able to get the life I want if I allow that fear to run me. And the other thing I would say is this. Think about what you would do for somebody else. Like, think about what you would do for somebody else. When I'm out with Taryn, we were out the other night. We went to a concert and we went to dinner before. And I hate rejection and I hate getting no's. Like when I say like, hey, can you do this? And somebody says like, no, we can't do that. It's just like a weird thing for me. And she's like, hey, can you ask for like 4 boxes and like this dipping sauce and this cheese sauce and then 2 mousses to go? And I'm like, this person's going to hate me. And it was like, but I did it for her. I did it for her. And again, like that's the level of discomfort I have in certain situations that you might never guess. You might never know that like that would bother me. I just think it's important to bring you behind the curtain. But I've gotten so many rejections when it comes to this business. We've gotten rejected by, quite literally at this point, hundreds of podcast guests.
Oh, for sure.
They'll come eventually, but we've gotten no's, we've gotten no responses, we've gotten, you know, call us back on your show is a little bit bigger, you fill it out in another year. The point I'm making here is, if you allow those things to stop you, like I said earlier, you're leaving opportunity on the table. So Alan and I now have the opportunity for several $10,000 a month clients. Would we have the opportunity for those $10,000 a month clients if I didn't get rejected over and over and over and get rid of that fear? When I'm talking to somebody, when it comes to business, I'm not really afraid of rejection anymore.
It's awesome.
Because I don't take that personally, right? Don't take rejection personally. I told the story of me approaching the girl in the gym years ago, and I was so afraid to do it. I was so afraid she was going to reject me. Terrified. If she rejects me, I can't go to this gym anymore. I'm going to look like an idiot. I approach her and she says, hey, you're very handsome, but I have a boyfriend. Rejected. It's okay. It actually made me more confident because I realized that biggest fear, that biggest insecurity I had didn't kill me. Getting rejected by clients can be difficult, but it also paved the runway for Alan and I to have the business we have now. And it's like that for you in whatever area of life that you're dealing with that. Rejection is a huge one. But try not to personalize the rejection. It's not you. It's probably not you. It's not me. They don't dislike me. Maybe they don't have the money right now. Maybe they're not certain of how a podcast would help them. Depersonalize from that result. And I think it'll be a lot easier to understand that not everybody is ready for you. Maybe if, you know, when it comes to a relationship, they're not ready for you right now. Maybe they're just not interested. It's okay. Not everybody is going to be.
Right.
Not everybody is going to be. It's a small percentage of people that will. And that's okay.
It's not only okay, it's expected, genuinely expected. We're at this event and one of the really powerful things that one of the speakers said is there's some people who are ready right now, there's some people who will be ready soon, and some people who will never be ready.
And the vast majority of people are, I think, the people who will not be ready ever.
Ever, yeah, and that's okay. That's okay. Again, what inspires one will repel another. So the next fear that I have written down here is the fear of leaving people behind. This is a big one for me, big, big, big one for me. And I'll just jump ahead here a little bit. Because there's also a fear of being left behind. So if I have a fear of leaving people behind, aka outgrowing others, and Kevin has a fear of being left behind.
It's accurate.
That's actually how we work so well together, at least before we were more conscious of these fears that were running us. But I had a fear of leaving Kevin behind, And so I would work really, really hard, if you don't mind me saying this, to help you level up as I did.
Yeah.
And Kevin worked really, really, really hard to level up because he didn't want to be left behind. And so every single person out there, I've never met someone who doesn't have one of those two fears, at least one of them. My girlfriend, Emilia, she is afraid to outgrow others. And so she stays smaller so she won't have to leave people. And then her business partner, Bianca, I know she wouldn't mind me saying this, she is afraid to be left behind. And so as long as they're aware of those fears, see, B's fear of not wanting to be left behind can drive her to success. She can read more books. She can ask more questions. She's asked us more questions on this trip than Kevin, Emilia, and I combined. She's so eager to learn and grow. But that's because she doesn't want to be left behind. That's okay. And we're so eager to add value, Emilia and I, because we don't want to ever leave Bianca behind. And so that's okay. Do you have one of those fears? The answer is yes. Which one is it? And most importantly, what are you going to do about it? If you're like me and you're afraid to outgrow other people, you cannot suppress your truth. If you suppress your truth, other people won't know your true value. And the people who are ready and who do want feedback and who do want to grow, you're actually taking that growth away from them. I had a coach early on. His name was Alex. And he was unbelievable. But at the time, I didn't fully understand his value. So this coach, I'll keep it anonymous. I'll only say his first name. He basically is friends with Brendon Burchard. And he has coached some of the greatest of the greats within this industry that Kevin and I have decided in advance to be a part of, the holistic self-improvement industry, really just the self-improvement industry, but we're more holistic. And he basically identified me and he wanted to coach me. And this person gets paid $50,000 every 6 months for every single client. And he made $1.3 million online. And then he helps other clients grow and scale online businesses, which is now what I do. And so now I have a whole nother level of respect for the level that he played at. And I remember he would say these really difficult things to me that I thought were really mean. But the more and more I grew, the more and more I evolved, the more and more I developed, the more and more I respect him. The more and more I realized that he was trying to help me. He said some really tough stuff to me. I'll give you one example. He said, "Alan, people like me are watching your every quarter turn. You were 2 minutes late today and you were in your car after the gym. I want you in front of your laptop with a notebook and pen for these calls. We're watching your every quarter turn. You have no wiggle room." Now, again, I have really, really, really high goals. And he knew that. And so he knew that was the level of truth that I needed. And to be completely honest, my schedule back then was a little lackadaisical. It was a little more lackadaisical. Now he would be very impressed. But I lost that coach. And the reason I lost that coach is because I wasn't willing to take that much truth. I wasn't ready for that truth. But now I know his true value. He also said many really good things too. My point is if you have this fear of leaving other people behind, you cannot suppress yourself to make yourself less than. I don't want you doing what one of my clients was guilty of. One of my clients is unbelievable. Multimillionaire. Absolute sweetheart, wonderful person, super successful, next level in every regard. And this is the analogy we talked about with her. I said, it's like you're going to a private gym by yourself and squatting 1,000 pounds over and over and over again for reps. And then when you're with your team, you're pretending that you only squat 200 because you don't want them to feel bad, especially with her business partner. And so if she wants them to value her at where she really plays at, she's going to have to show them that she can squat 1,000 pounds fairly easily. And so now she's done that. And guess what? Everyone, while their insecurities were triggered, now they know her true value. And now they know who the true leader was. Okay? That is my point if you have this fear of leaving others behind. Now, if you have a fear of being left behind, what you're going to have to overcome is your fear of feedback. What you're going to have to overcome is this story that you've told yourself that you're not good enough. Maybe you're not good enough yet, okay? And that's true. And you're going to have to proactively seek feedback. I mentioned Bianca, huge shout out. She's asked more questions on this trip in the last 4 days than she did the previous year. And I'm so, so, so impressed because she's asking tough questions because she wants tough answers. And tough answers bring new awareness and it brings new results. And so if you're out there and you're afraid to be left behind, that's how you make sure you're not left behind, is you ask tough questions to people who you know deep down might be ahead of you. It's okay. I go to the gym with a couple people who, Kevin, he's stronger than me. Significantly stronger than me.
See this thing?
Okay, exactly. See this thing? That's okay. That doesn't make me feel less than. And if it did, I would ask Kev, hey, how'd you get so strong? And then I'd get the value. See, we both win. He gets to be strong and I get to be strong too. And so that's the key.
And the other thing too is like, what if you're right? Like if I stop growing, Alan will and should outgrow me. That's okay. You know what I mean? I think it's okay. Like if I decide to stop growing today, Alan will not be in my life as much. It just is the way it is. That's okay. And Alan will have to outgrow some people. Right?
Yeah.
And you have. And I've almost been left behind. So it's one of those things of like, sometimes, and I'll pivot this, but I want to make this positive. Sometimes you have to use your deepest fear as your deepest power.
For sure.
That's one of the reasons I work so hard, because I'm terrified of being left behind. I just am. I always have been. That's why I'm willing to just deal with whatever, get on the plane. And every time we land on the plane, I basically cry because of how proud I am of doing another thing. Like I was crying. I had a little cry sesh as I was listening to my music. It's just
I didn't even know that. Yeah. But granted, you were on the other side of the plane.
I was hiding. I just have something in all of my
both
eyes.
Of my eyes.
So I talk a lot about, and you've probably seen me if you follow me on Instagram or any of the social medias, but I talk a lot about UFC and I love mixed martial arts. And at this point, maybe you see me punching the punching bag. I was doing it the other day at the gym. But at one point, I was terrified to do that because I was terrified of what Alan spoke about, the fear of judgment. And when I moved to Worcester, Mass from New Hampshire, I was living with my best friend, Matt, and we went to this new gym together and they had a punching bag. And I was like, oh man, I haven't done a punch. Like I haven't hit a punching bag in years. Like that would be really awesome. This gym's 5 minutes from my house. Nobody's ever using it. Like, but it's in front of everybody. Like everybody in the gym can see you hitting the punching bag. And I think one day I went and it was just like, there was nobody there. So I just was like, I'm just going to do this and see what happens. And I started hitting it and kicking it, and that was awesome. And then I ordered gloves, and that was awesome. And Bianca and I ended up sparring, and I sparred somebody else. And I was in there one day, and I think I was practicing my kicks. And somebody came up to me, and he's like, hey, do it this way. Like, turn your hips a little bit more. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's awesome. Like, thank you for that. He's like, I'm actually a teacher at the Muay Thai gym down the street. Like, you should come by. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I'd love to see you like spar somebody. And I was like, well, I'm going to get killed, man. Like, what are you trying to do here? So I went to the gym. Team Link Muay Thai. Shout out to them. They're awesome gym. I went there and I got to take a class for free and I got to stay after and spar a professional fighter. And if I didn't face that initial fear, and the story continues, if I didn't face that initial fear, I never would have got the invitation. Alan and I both took personality tests. What was it called? Do you remember?
Human design.
Yeah. And the thing it said about me is I'm somebody who gets invited to things, and I do. Like I get invited and it's up to me to say yes. I never would have got that opportunity to get that invitation if I wasn't feeling willing to face that fear. Okay, fast forward. After that class, I didn't go back because we were busy, so I couldn't do it full time. But Alan and I ended up interviewing the co-owner of Team Link Muay Thai, Julian,
yep.
Nicest person in the world, / assassin when he's in the ring fighting.
For sure.
But I got to live out one of my childhood fantasies of going into a boxing gym and Julian held pads for me while I hit the mitts. And it was like this childhood dream come true for me. Literally, like, I watched the video. I still watch it. I have it on my phone. I watch it. It was amazing. I always wanted to, like, have the opportunity to do that. And it required an invitation that I never would have got if I wasn't willing to face that fear. So a lot of what I'm talking about is how my reality today, the reality that you see me in, the person that you see and you listen to, hopefully, and you know, the person I become is based on all of the fears that I've been willing to face. And your life can have the same, it can have the same trajectory if you're willing to face those fears. Like, you don't even know what you're missing out on. And you'll never know what you're missing out on until you face the fear allowing you to face what you're missing out on.
So true.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it actually goes deeper because Emilia and I met, but Emilia was at Team Link Muay Thai and Bianca and Emilia met at Team Link. Mm. And if it wasn't for Bianca referring me, for lack of better phrasing, she was like, you got to listen to these guys' podcast. And that's when she reached out and said, can you do an episode on selfishness versus selflessness? And then Kevin and I
argue
had a physical altercation. No, I'm kidding. But that's how the law of attraction works. When you go all in on courage and all in on your dreams, the right persons, places, things, and ideas will find you. They'll be attracted to you. If you don't, they won't. Just like if Kevin didn't have the courage to hit the bag, and if I didn't have the courage to tell Kevin that he's not facing enough of his fears, and if that person didn't have the courage to go up to Kevin and sell his services of, hey, I'm a teacher at Muay Thai. See, the ripple effect is more powerful than you can possibly imagine. And so the very last thing is we got to go to Q&A here, and I actually have to pee before Q&A. So you're going to have to do the first question.
How dare you?
I know. First question solo. I'm sorry.
Man.
You're going to have to fear chase. This is what I want to end with. The other two fears I had on here was the fear of not belonging and the fear of not being loved. But I'm going to shift it. What I want you to be afraid of. Ooh, interesting. Mm. What I want everyone to be afraid of is what I'm most afraid of, and that's regret. I'm more afraid of regret than I am of not being loved. I'm more afraid of the regret of not maximizing my potential. I recently said this. My calling is to maximize my potential and to help others do the same. And how do I know that? Because when I'm doing that, I'm fulfilled. That's my answer. So if you're out there right now, I want you to be afraid of regret. So forget about the fear of judgment. Forget about the fear of public speaking. Forget about the fear of leaving people behind. Forget about the fear of being left behind. Forget about the fear of not belonging or the fear of not being loved. I want you to have the fear of regret. Okay? Because you're not going to regret the stuff you tried and failed. But you're definitely going to regret not taking the chance. Emilia and I put an offer on a home, and we were rejected on several homes prior to getting our home. Okay? We would definitely have had the fear of regret of not trying. We were unprofitable for co-hosting events, but we tried and we failed forward. And I know we're going to look back on our life with joy and reverence because we didn't stay stuck. And we're not going to have regrets for the stuff we tried and screwed up. We're going to have regrets for the things that we didn't have the courage to actually try. So now I'm going to go to the bathroom. We're going to move to Q&A. But I want you to have the fear of regret. And I know that a lot of people might not like that, but be very afraid of regret.
Last thing, really quick. I want you to think about this. What do you want out of your life? Like, think about it. Have the audacity to... I want you to think what you want, not what you think you're capable of. Those are usually two greatly different things. And then I want you to answer this question. Can I accomplish my deepest goals and not face the fears that are holding me back? And then really sit with that and then chip away on those fears. It's not going to happen overnight. I'm genuinely still anxious and afraid on flights, but I try to fear chase a little bit more every time. I open the slider for the window when we're taking off. Taking off is my the most scary for me. You leave the ground so quickly. It's mind-blowing. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I try to face a little bit of that fear every time. I love landing, so I open the shade and I watch. I love to see the houses, how small they look, right? I cannot accomplish my goals if I don't face my fears. And it's like that for many people. And you have to have the audacity and the courage to admit that and then take the responsibility to start changing the things that you are afraid of. Amy, you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always for joining us for another episode of Next Level University.
One podcast episode can change your life forever. If you got value from this episode, please share it with someone you care about deeply.
And we will talk to you on the next one.